The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Popular Science for Kids, the ultimate guide to almost everything. We're going to begin today on page 54. We're talking about places, which is the theme. How does a river form? The water in rivers helped the earliest civilization survive. Thousands of cities have been built along the banks of the world's flowing waters. Rivers help irrigate farmland and provide transportation for people and goods. Before railroads and airplanes, they were vital links between people in different lands. They are also home to huge populations of fish, birds, and other wildlife. Here's a quick look at how rivers are first formed. What are the five longest rivers in the world? Rivers are generally measured from their source to an endpoint, either flowing into another body of water or finishing on land. Here are some of the longest. Well, we'll start with hello. Gravity. Rivers start as collections of water that move from a higher elevation to a lower one. These collections are called headwaters. Traveling downhill, the water follows the contours or shape of the land. Water finds the lowest point around and keeps moving downhill. This forms the bed of the river. 3. Water travels down to the river from all the upland areas it passes. The river grows as more and more water flows in. And 4. Centuries of water flowing through one area erodes or carves out a long ribbon-like shape. That shape might change a bit as the water flows, but the basic path of the river is established. Why are clean rivers important? About 65% of Americans get their drinking water from rivers, so efforts are ongoing to keep rivers clean. For too long, pollution has poured into rivers from cities and factories, and pesticides used to kill insects flowed in from farms. Cities and states are now working hard to keep these dangerous chemicals out of rivers. Want to help? Look for groups in your area that do river trash cleanups. Help make sure your house gets rid of chemicals safely. And if you use less water, there'll be more for everyone. The five longest rivers in the world. Number 1, the Nile, 4,160 miles. Number 2, the Amazon in South America, 4,000 miles. Number 3, the Yangtze in China, 3,964 miles. Number 4, the Mississippi, Missouri, 3,710 miles. And Yenisei, Angara in Russia, 3,442 miles. What is a cave? Caves are empty spaces beneath the Earth's surface that are big enough for people to enter. Huge areas of caves are found all over the world, connected to long tunnels or crawl spaces. Most are formed by water slowly flowing and dripping through rock formations called karst. Rainwater mixes with gases from the air. This makes the water acidic. As it flows, the acidic water erodes and carries away parts of the karst. What's left is the empty space that is the cave. What are some different types? Most caves are created by water erosion, but others have different origins. Sea caves are created by pounding waves. Lava tubes are what's left after molten magma pours through rock following a volcanic eruption. Glacial ice caves are created in glaciers, huge sheets of moving ice. Salt caves are created by water movement too, but they are formed inside huge domes of salt near the Earth's surface. So here I have pictures of these different types of caves. The salt cave on the left, sea cave in the middle of the page, and at the bottom, lower left, lava tube and ice cave on the bottom right. Moving on, number 3, deep facts about deep places. Dripping water creates beautiful rock formations. The ones going from the ground up are called stalagmites. The ones coming down the ceiling are stalactites. Yes, bats do live in caves. They remain sheltered during the day, coming out at night to feed on insects. Bats use echolocation, or reflected sound wave, to find food. Some animals have evolved to survive in the complete darkness of caves. Types of spiders, fish, salamanders, insects, and worms can all live in caves. How can people visit caves? Some caves have become popular tourist destinations. After the area is explored for safety, platforms, pathways, and observation points are built. Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico is one of the most famous cave sites in the United States. The big room, open to tourists, is as big as 6 football fields put together. A part of the cave that's open only to experts travels more than 140 miles underground. Some of the oldest signs of human culture have been found in caves. Drawings on cave walls can date back more than 19,000 years. A group of tourists visits Congo Caves in Oudtshoorn, Western Cape, South Africa. And we have pictures showing the people visiting and tourists enjoying their visits. How was the Freedom Tower built? The Twin Towers of the World Trade Center collapsed after being attacked on September 11, 2001. Undaunted, New York City moved to put up a new and even bigger building. On the site of the disaster rose a monument to progress, Freedom Tower at One World Trade Center, standing gleaming and tall at exactly 1,776 feet, which matches the year of America's independence, of course. Including the skinny spire at the top, Freedom Tower is the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere. How did this amazing creation rise up? Work began in 2006, and it took more than 8 years and the hard work of thousands of experts to finish. Planning engineers, types of concrete and steel in new ways. The foundation was dug out. Exterior. Special glass was used to cover the outside. Not only does it reflect sunlight for a rainbow effect, it also helps keep the inside a pleasant temperature. The building won award for being eco-friendly. Design. One World Trade Center's design is geometric. The base is a cube with 8 tall triangles rising from it. At the center, the tower forms a perfect octagon. Framing. With cranes built by other cranes, workers added a massive steel skeleton floor by floor. As beams went into place, concrete flooring was poured. The concrete was the hardest ever used in a New York City building. Interior. Thousands of people now work in One World Trade Center. Offices were rented and interior walls and rooms were built. Furniture was loaded in. Dedication. On November 3, 2014, Freedom Tower was officially opened. Visitors to the observatory at the top of the building can enjoy a 360-degree view. The Twin Towers at WTC prior to 9/11. World's tallest buildings. Skyscrapers were once thought to be massive at 10 to 20 stories high, but today's soaring towers, like the ones here, easily stretch past 120 floors or more. The Burj Khalifa in Dubai, 2,717 feet. Shanghai Tower, Shanghai, China, 2,073 feet. The Makkah Royal Clock Tower, Mecca, Saudi Arabia, 1,972 feet. Ping An Finance Center in China, 1,965 feet. And the Lotte World, Lotte World Tower in Seoul, South Korea, 1,819 feet. 6 more fascinating facts. Why do trees in Singapore have on-off switches? Because they are made by humans. The enormous light trees in the Super Tree Grove tower over a park. Made of skeletons of steel, the trees are lit using solar power and grids of colored lights. A walkway among the 164-foot structures lets people look down on a huge botanical garden. Where can fish ride in a car? A tropical reef fish can get behind the wheel of this car. A sculpture at the Museo Sepulcro de Arte, this underwater art museum is located off the coast of Mexico. To see the sunken artwork up close, visitors can snorkel, take a glass-bottom boat, or suit up with scuba gear. The artwork also helps build up the reef system and provides a habitat for marine life. Would you brave the Zanjasai Bridge? Did we mention it's made of transparent glass and that is more than 980 feet above the ground? The thick glass bridge connects two mountain tops in Hunan Province, China. It's 19.6 feet wide, and yes, there is a high guardrail. Still, as you walk, you can look straight down past your feet to the green forest below. Yikes! Where is the hottest place people live? Most weather experts point to the Saudi Arabian city of Mecca. During the height of summer, temperatures can rise to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. It's more than 87 degrees all year long. By comparison, the highest average annual temperature in the United States is 78.5 in Marathon, Florida. What is the world's largest mud building? Built on the site of an older building in 1905, the Grand Mosque in Djeng, Mali, is constructed entirely of mud and wood. At more than 320 feet long and 131 feet wide, it includes two huge towers. Every year, the locals add a new layer of mud on the outside to protect it. How did palm trees grow in the waters of the Persian Gulf? The city of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates wanted more beachfront property, so they built some. Engineers designed enormous earthworks in the shape of palm trees and built them into the coastal waters of the Persian Gulf of Dubai. Houses, resorts, hotels, and more were built on the islands. Another nearby development was created with islands in the shape of a world map. Very creative. Chapter 4, Cool Tech. Technology is all about science being put to work. Turn the page to see some of the many ways we are using it today. Electric cars can often have more compact motors than gasoline-powered vehicles. Henry Ford, in his first gasoline-powered car, the Ford Quadricycle, in 1896. We've come a long way. Tech, what is navigation? Navigation is the process of planning and following a route from one place to another. When you decide which streets to take while walking to school, that's navigation. When your bus driver decides which student to drop off first, that's navigation too. And if you drive somewhere new, most cars have access to a global positioning system, GPS, that navigates for you. And if your car doesn't have it, your phone does. But navigation hasn't always been so easy. Many of history's greatest navigational tools were created by and for sailors. On the open seas, there are no real landmarks. But even sailors in the ancient world understood that they could calculate direction and distance by observing their physical relationship to either the sun during the day or the stars at night. Ancient sailors looked to the sky to determine their location. GPS also looks to the sky, using satellites in space to map your route. The difference is that GPS is nearly completely accurate in determining a location anywhere on Earth, a vast improvement over any tool that came before it. Units to know: latitude, a measurement of how far north or south you are. Longitude, a measurement of how far east or west you are. A map, first used in 700 BC and likely earlier. Historians suspect that maps have existed in some form since the very first humans tried to remember how to get from one cave to another. But the oldest surviving map is the Imago Mundi. It was carved onto a clay tablet and it showed the world as ancient Babylonians believed it looked. Astrolabe, first used around the 6th century. Ancient navigators used the position of stars to plot their routes. An astrolabe, Greek for star taker, was a tool that assisted with calculating distances between the sun, the stars, and the horizon, the line at which the earth and the sky appear to meet. Camel, first used around the 10th century. The camel is a simple but effective navigational tool invented by Arab sailors. It's a rectangle of wood with a string attached, and the string has a series of knots tied into it. The navigator would hold out the camel, creating an angle between the device and the North Star. To keep their boat headed in a straight line, sailors just had to make sure that the angle between the star and the camel remained the same. Compasses, first used around the 11th century. The magnetized needle inside a compass always points north because it's responding to the magnetic field of Earth. The first compasses were used by Chinese navigators about 1,000 years ago. Europeans developed their own compasses around 1200. Cross staff, first used 14th century. A medieval scholar named Levi Ben Gerson pioneered a tool called the cross staff. As a sailor's navigational tool, cross staffs became popular among Portuguese explorers in the early 1500s. They used the cross staff to measure the angle of the sun as it relates to the horizon. Knowing this can help determine latitude. Sextant, first used mid-18th century. Much like a cross staff, a sextant measures angles in relation to sun and the horizon. But a sextant is much more precious than a cross staff and can measure both latitude and longitude. Also, it has a pair of mirrors inside, which means that the user does not need to look directly at the sun the way the user of a cross staff might. Satellite navigation. First commercial use, 1996. There are 31 satellites in orbit called the Global Positioning System. They work by emitting signals about their location to receivers, like the one on your phone. Receivers take the info from a number of satellites and use that data to figure out location. How do suspension bridges work? Suspension bridges depend on two forces, tension and compression. Tension is the force that tries to stretch things or pull them apart. Imagine a game of tug-of-war. The rope is under tension because the people on both sides are pulling it. Compression pushes it in, trying to squash something into itself. On a suspension bridge, the cables experience tension, and the two towers at the end of the bridge experience compression. The balance of two opposing forces enables suspension bridges to withstand the pressure of a third force, gravity, which is always trying to pull bridges and everything else down. With a well-constructed suspension bridge, the weight of the deck where the road is located is transferred from the cables to the towers, which overcome the force of gravity. What are some other types of bridges? Steps to build a bridge. Number one. A foundation or pier is built on either side to provide support. They're usually made from caissons, a French word meaning boxes, filled with concrete. The two towers are built. Concrete caissons form the foundations. Number three, anchorages are placed at each end of the bridge. These will hold the ends of the cables and transfer the tension of the bridge into the piers. Number four, cables are made from steel wires that are spun using a pulley system. The wires are pulled from one anchorage to the first tower, then to the next tower, and then to the anchorage on the other side. Thousands of steel wires are spun to build a bridge. The deck. The flat part of the bridge with the road is constructed last. If the bridge is being built over water, the deck is brought in on boats, one piece at a time, and raised by cranes to assemble the road. 17 Arch Bridge, Shanghai, China. Arch Bridge dates back to the ancient Greece. Fourth Railway Bridge in Scotland. A cantilever is a beam that is supported at only one end. Cantilever bridges are good for spanning long distances. Causeway Bridge, Louisiana. Beam bridges are built across large bodies of water and can be some of the longest bridges in the world. How do high-speed trains work? Most trains today use electricity to move. High-speed trains levitate, float above the track with the help of super-powered magnets. They're called maglev trains for magnetic levitation. It never touches the track, so there is no friction to slow it down. Whether they hold a photo on the fridge or power a train, all magnets work the same. One side or pole has electrons that are strongly attracted to electrons in certain metals, while the other side's electrons repel them, push them away. Maglev trains are powered by superconducting magnets. When the train is running, the magnets are cooled to minus 450 degrees Fahrenheit. The extreme cold increases the power of the magnets, which is why they are called superconducting. Superconducting magnets sit both underneath the train and on top of the track. The poles of these magnets are opposite, meaning they repel each other. That's what creates the levitation that raises the train. Superconducting magnets along the outside of the train and edge of the track have alternating poles. Some attract each other, pulling the train forward. Others repel each other. This adds a push force that makes the train go even faster. 10 fastest facts about high-speed trains. Number 1. The first maglev train was built at Birmingham Airport in Britain in 1984 and closed in 1995. It had a comparatively low speed of 26 miles per hour. Number 2. The Shanghai maglev can travel almost 20 miles in 8 minutes. 3. The fastest commercial maglev train in the world is the Shanghai maglev. It opened in 2004, and its top speed is 268 miles per hour. Number 4. An additional maglev train line is being built to connect the Japanese cities of Osaka and Tokyo. When the system is completed in 2037, what is now a 3-hour trip will shrink to 1 hour. Number 5. Maglev trains in Japan are nicknamed bullet trains, both because of their speed and their bullet-like shape that cuts down wide resistance. Number 6, maglev trains are twice as fast as the fastest train in the United States. Number 7, today only 3 countries use maglev trains to carry passengers: China, Japan, and South Korea. Number 8, the Shinkansen railway network in Japan has 9 maglev train lines. Number 9, maglev systems have a hefty price tag. A proposed line from Baltimore to Washington, D.C. has a projected cost of $15 billion. Number 10, once a maglev line is built, it costs about 70% less to operate than traditional electric train lines. How can the sea provide power? A turbine is a machine for generating power with wheels or rotors. When the turbine's wheels rotate, pushed by water, steam, or other means, electricity is generated. Tidal turbines are essentially underwater windmills, powered by water rather than air. Some already sit right off the east coast and use the power of constantly shifting tides to generate electricity. Others may one day be placed farther out to capture the power of deep ocean currents. How does wave power work? There are a number of technologies that can be used to convert the amazing power of waves into electricity. Attenuators, sometimes nicknamed sea snakes, are similar to buoys but lie flat on the surface of the ocean. Wave motion creates power that can be harnessed by these machines. You don't say. An electric car could travel 400 of miles on the power that's generated by just one ocean wave. How do ocean breezes help? Oceans are a source of large amounts of steady wind, which moves the blades, turning a rotor that is connected to a generator. This creates electricity. Offshore wind farms like this one off the coast of the United Kingdom are another way oceans can help create power. Absorbers use giant buoys that float on the ocean surface. The buoys are connected to generators on the ocean floor. Waves move the buoys up and down, creating energy. The generators turn that energy into electricity, which travels to land through undersea cables, oscillating water columns. use waves and air pressure to generate energy. The top part is filled with air and the bottom is full of water. As the waves move through, air pressure in the top section increases and decreases. This changing air pressure can be captured and turned into electricity. And finally for today, what is a climate change? When you check the weather report, you want to know what the temperature is outside, whether you need a jacket or rain boots, and if it warm up after school. That's your local weather, and it changes daily. Climate change is a long-term pattern of warming temperature and increasingly extreme weather, brought about in part by human activity. Even a small rise in temperature can have a big impact. Why does trash matter? A big portion of the stuff we throw away is made of plastic, which decomposes very slowly, if at all. The plastic straw in a soda cup may be sitting in a landfill 200 years after you throw it away. So what can be done to solve the problem with plastics? There are two new technologies called gasification and pyrolysis that may help by converting trash into energy. Gasification burns garbage at very high temperature, turning it into gas. Normally, when you burn plastic, the molecules bond with oxygen and become poisonous. But engineers figured out how to burn the plastic in an oxygen-free environment, so there's no poison. The resulting gas can be used to generate energy. The word pyrolysis comes from the Greek word meaning separating by fire. Plastic trash is shredded and melted rather than burned. The melting process breaks down the plastic into a form that can be turned into fuel. Emissions are gases like carbon dioxide or particles that are released into the air by different sources, like car exhaust. How can we get rid of carbon? Well, stay tuned for next week. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.